friend. We're going to have a great semester together. I hope you realize you're going to make some memories of a lifetime while you're here in Bible College. And I remember coming to college for the very first year when the college opened up back in 1996. And there was a Filipino student there by the name of Alvin Martinez. I don't know if that name sounds familiar to anyone. And he did not know English very well. And he sat in the front, and the preacher would preach, and he'd lean over and say, "What that mean? What that mean? What that mean?" And the second year, I was the men's dorm supervisor, and I remember going through the dorms and checking the dorms to make sure all the students were out on time and so forth. And he was on Filipino time still. And we had the apartments across from the Clyde Avenue property, and I went in the door, and I heard upstairs, boom, 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 these feet running, you know, and went through the apartment. There was nobody there, the dormitory, nobody there. Went to the second level, couldn't find anybody. Went back through and looked in all the closets. Nobody was there in the room closets. And I was coming through the hall, and the hall closet was cracked open just a little bit. And I went to grab that, and I'm telling you, a big old Filipino jumped out with a towel wrapped around him and his hair standing straight up. Wah! Man, he scared the fire out of me. And so I hope you'll remind Brother Martinez about that when you see him. But you're going to make some great memories when you're in Bible College. You'll make friends of a lifetime. One of the men that always was in my dorm, and so he wanted to be in whatever dorm each semester I was in, because I was the dorm supervisor for a number of years, and he felt like if he was close to me, he'd get fewer demerits and so forth, and I don't know how that worked out for him. But anyways, in the summer, he worked at Crescent Truck Line. I don't think it's here anymore, but it used to be down Aldo and off a side street over here. And in the summer, I worked for him. And so I was his boss when he was on campus, and he was my boss when I was off campus. And then a few years after I was in the pastorate, the Lord called him to Woodland, and then he became my assistant. And then he worked for me. And now he's a pastor, and I'm at the college. So when he comes, he's my authority. So it's just an interesting way how life works. So be kind to everyone, especially your roommate, because you never know what the Lord's going to do down the road. And where is Maggie Houston at? Is she in here this morning? Maggie, are you here? Right back over here. And what a joy. My wife and I had the privilege to take a picture with her parents when they dropped her off for college this past week. And little did I realize back then that all these years later, now we would have our own children going to college and being able to spend that time together. And so I just want to encourage you to realize that these are special days for you. And you're going to be making some friends of a lifetime, make those memories. And then I want to encourage you, while I have just a brief moment here, to be very respectful of our pastors who are coming in. Pastor Rule, I believe, will be here tomorrow. Pastor Ray will be here tomorrow. Brother Goddard will be here a little later this week. And express gratitude to them for taking the time to be here. It is an incredible sacrifice, and I stand in awe that these men still take the time to travel and commute here to invest in your lives, and that's why they do it. And they love the Lord, they love you, love our pastor. And so I want to just encourage you. And then with the new pastors that are here as well, be very respectful to Pastor Atwood, if you would, and Pastor Cooper. And don't call them, you know, Pastor C and or Pastor A or Pastor R or whatever, you know. And I know that may be somewhat of a fun personality for you, and I'm not trying to rebuke anybody sharply, But we want to express gratitude, and we want to express honor to these men because we're truly honored to have them here. And so you men want to soak up everything you can from these men, and ladies as well, while they're with us, and that'd be great. Let's jump in, Joshua chapter 3, and we're going to begin down in verse number 3. And I heard about a young boy who came home from his first Sunday morning church service. Mom had sat down and said, "We're going to church from now on." And he came home and announced, "I'm going to be a preacher when I grow up." And Mom said, "Wow, that was a fast decision. What made you decide that?" And he said, "Well, if I have to go to church every Sunday anyways, I might as well be the guy standing behind the pulpit yelling at everybody rather than having to sit still and not talk, you know?" And so anyhow, I hope you'll sit still and not talk while I preach this morning. But anyways, Joshua chapter 3, let's look together beginning in verse number 3. The Bible says, "And when they commanded the people, saying, 'When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priest and the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore.'" I'd like to have you underline, if you don't mind underlining in your Bible, "Ye have not passed this way heretofore. You know, you are in uncharted waters in your life right now. And the next few years of your life are very important years of your life, because the decisions that you'll be making are going to set the course for the rest of your life. What you do with your life, who you marry, and these are important decisions. And so whether you're a freshman, sophomore, junior, or senior, master's student this morning, the decisions you make in your life are so important, and the direction that you set for your life. And you're in uncharted territory, and there are things that you'll face this year that you won't perhaps face the rest of your time here in Bible college, and especially you seniors and master students as you're preparing to leave this place and go off into the ministry. And so I want to preach a message this morning entitled, "You've Not Passed This Way Here to Four." Let's look at verse 5, though, and we'll bow for prayer in a moment. And Joshua said unto the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And Joshua spake to the priests, saying, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people." And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. Let's skip down to verse 14. "And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and they that bear the Ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the Ark dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overflow all his banks all the time of harvest." And it says, "And the waters which came down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zeratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed." So there's more than just the Jordan River being cut off here. All the creeks and or rivers that are flowing into the Dead Sea as well are being cut off to keep the waters from the south rising up, and the Jordan are being cut off to keep the waters from the north coming down as well. And the Bible tells us that they were able to cross on dry ground. Let's bow for prayer. Father, what a joy it is to stand behind this sacred pulpit. And I thank you, Lord, for Golden State Baptist College. I thank you for every student, every staff and faculty member here this morning. And Lord, I realize I'm nothing without you, and so I yield myself to your Spirit. Give me clarity of mind and heart, and Lord, help me to communicate, Father, what you've placed on my heart. And I pray, God, that you would minister to every heart and life, edify your people, and I pray that these students, Lord, would draw closer to you as a result of this day. And we'll give you the glory and the praise, where we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll let you be seated. Thank you for standing so long. And so here, just as I made the statement that this is new territory for you, we come to our text here in Joshua chapter 3, and this is a whole new step and a whole new phase of life for the children of Israel. They've wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. They've become accustomed to eating the manna in the wilderness, and they've been following the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, and they've become used to living in their tents. And all of this because they lacked the faith and obedience to cross the Jordan years prior and claim the promised land. Claiming the promised land for the nation of Israel is a picture to us of living in Christian victory. And the children of Israel in the wilderness is a picture really of just kind of wandering aimlessly. And I want to just encourage you this morning to realize the decisions that you make in life are going to determine whether or not you as a born-again believer are just kind of wander aimlessly in life and chase money, you know, or fame or fortune, whatever the case may be, or if you're going to invest your life in eternity and really grow and see God do great things. Whether or not you live in Christian victory and see God do great things determines the decisions that you make. And this massive group of God's people, 1 to 2 million people, needed to receive some instruction about crossing the Jordan that was flooded at this particular time. And so they get a plan from the Lord to cross the Jordan. And we see that in verse 3 and verse number 4. When they saw the ark and so forth, the priests that were bearing the ark, that the people were to remove from their place and go after it. The Israelites didn't cross the Jordan in a way that was unorganized or haphazard. It was not an every man for himself kind of a situation. And this was a very organized, strategic plan that God had given to them as they had to cross in a very efficient manner when you stop and consider all that they had and all that went into this process. And we understand that the ark was very important because it was symbolic, if you would, and a visible token to them of the very presence of God. And the people are told, look, as you see the Ark of the Covenant going before you, we want you to go after it. You see, God was leading the Israelites into a flooded river. Stop and consider that. I love Pastor Treber's message a few Sundays ago about the nation of Israel getting trapped at the Red Sea. And this is a very similar type of a scenario now. But we have 40 years later as they're trying to cross the Jordan. And it is the Lord that is leading them into an impossible situation. And it was God's leading that was doing this. Following the ark was symbolic of the fact that they were following God's leading in their life. And this is important for us to understand. When the ark moved, they were to move. And they were to follow. And we have got to understand in 2019... the importance of keeping our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and having a relationship with the Word of God and knowing that when God speaks and He directs, we are to yield ourselves and obey and follow His leading in our lives. I would say this morning that as a pastor for many years, I'm baffled oftentimes by the Bible college students who graduate and then don't take the time to seek the Lord or find the mind of God about what it is that God has for them and the next decision that they make in their life. And I'm very understanding of Proverbs 11 and verse 14, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And I'm a believer in having a multitude of counselors that are godly, God-fearing people who have a proven track record of following the Lord and being very careful as a young individual that you don't let people into that cabinet of counselors that are the same age as you are. And your parents and your pastor ought to be on that list, and godly grandparents and people that know the Lord ought to be a part of that cabinet of counselors that you go to for guidance. But I'm also reminded this morning that Paul told the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 2:5 that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You see, all is vain if we're not teaching the students of Golden State Baptist College how to look up and get a hold of God and how to hear the still small voice of God speaking directly and uniquely to you, because God has prepared your life and He is crafting your life and He's preparing you specifically and uniquely for something that He doesn't have for anybody else but you. And you've got to understand that you are fearfully and wonderfully made this morning. Proverbs 21 and verse 30 says, there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. And you've got to be very careful that in your own flesh, you don't just determine that you're going to do what you want to do and that this is what I desire and this is what my flesh wants. And so therefore, I'm going to deem this to be the will of God for my life. That would be very foolish. And I just personally believe that if you're on page with God and you're seeking the Lord, that your authority, as they're on page with the Lord and as they're seeking the Lord, can help bring some guidance to your life. And we had some seniors over last night, and I thank you for taking the time to come, and we'll have some more over the next few weeks just to get a chance to get to know you. We're praying for you. We know God has His hand on your lives, and He has great things ahead for you. But if we don't teach you to hear from God, what are we teaching you here at Golden State Baptist College? Our theme this year is look up. I love what the songwriter wrote. Look to God. Don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid. You're not alone. I'd like to have you hold your spot in Joshua 3 and turn to Psalm 121. We're coming back to Joshua chapter 3, but I want you to see a passage here in Psalm 121 that's so important. And this psalm is only 8 verses, but it's very powerful. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 121, I will lift up mine eyes into the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Perhaps you're a brand new freshman here and you're saying, I don't know how in the world I'm going to pay my school bill. I don't know where in the world I'm going to find a job. I don't know how I'm going to write my papers, as you're finding out about some projects that you're going to have in your course requirements. This week, you're going to be handed syllabuses and course requirements, and it's going to be an eye-opening experience for you when you realize this isn't camp. Because most freshmen come to a realization of that at some point. Where is your help going to come from? I'll tell you, you need to look up. Because God wants to draw close to you. And He wants to help you through this time. He wants to help you get organized with your life. He wants to help you learn to pay your bills and learn to get along with your roommate and all of these things that are necessary. And the psalmist goes on to say, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. As I think about the Lord and some of these words and keeping your eyes on Jesus, I'm reminded of looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And then I'm reminded of Peter, how he saw the Lord Jesus coming on that stormy sea that night. And he looked out and as the other disciples were fearful and afraid, just as the nation of Israel was fearful and afraid, and that's why they didn't cross the Jordan the first time they had opportunity to, Peter looked out and he saw an opportunity. He said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee. And Jesus said what? Come. And Peter stepped out of the boat, you know, and we give Peter a lot of hard time for the fact that he began to sink in the water, but how cool is it that he walked on water? I mean, outside of the Lord Jesus, Peter's the only man I know that's ever walked on water. And I remember as a kid thinking to myself, well, if Peter could have faith and walk on water, why can't I have faith and walk on water? Because the Word of God hasn't told me to do that. That's why. Peter said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee. And Peter said, come. I don't know about you, but I'll tell you what's burning in my heart. I'll tell you what's burning in my heart is to see God work miraculously in your generation. And if God's going to do that, it's going to be because of men and women that are in this very room here that realize the day is dark, the time is short, and it's going to take some young adults that realize that it's your generation that perhaps God will bring revival to. But it's going to take men and women who can hear the still small voice of God and answer the word of God and literally be willing to step out of the boat as they look to the Lord and say, if that's you, God, would you bid me to come? Because I guarantee it, when God says come, it's not time to find out what everybody else thinks. It's time to step out of the boat. We see the spacing of the ark in verse 4 as you go back to Joshua chapter 3 with me, please. And there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits. The space from the ark to the people was there so that all could see the ark. This gap was over a half of a mile long, and God's people were no longer following a cloud or following a pillar of fire. They were following here the Ark of the Covenant, and they had this distance between them and the ark so that they could physically see the ark. The ark was ground level, so the distance was necessary for all to see and follow the ark. And I'm thankful this morning for the priesthood of the believers that you have direct access to God. You have in your hand the very written word of God. What more do you need than to hear from God? Joshua chapter 3 and verse 14, it came to pass when the people removed from their tents. I don't know about you, but to me, it's sad the fact that they wasted 40 years because they were fearful and disobedient and would not come out of their tents. They claimed the promised land after they removed from their tent. That was the first step. And I submit to you this morning that coming out of your tent, coming out of your comfort zone, is exactly the first step that God desires for you to take in your Christian life. If you're going to be all that God desires for you to be, I remember going out soul winning for the first time. I was terrified of sharing the gospel. And I found the man in our church at the time who was one of the strongest soul winners. And I asked if I could go soul winning with him, and we would go door to door, door to door. And I would watch him present the gospel and lead people to the Lord. And after a couple of weeks, he said, okay, it's your turn. And I said, no, I'm not ready for that yet. I just want to listen. And we got to the next door, and he knocked on the door, or he rang the doorbell. And when the person came and answered, he said, "This is you." And he stepped back, and he got all silent. And there I was standing at the door, man. Talk about uncomfortable. That was a bit awkward. And I fumbled through and gave them a gospel tract and invited them to church and then asked if they knew if they were going to heaven. And they said no. And I stumbled through the plan of salvation and said, "Would you like to pray and ask Jesus to save you?" And they said, "Yes, I would." And I said, "Are you sure you really would?" I messed everything all up and didn't do it right. But they prayed and trusted Christ as their Savior. And God lit a fire in my heart. But I'm thankful I didn't let that moment where I was fearful and afraid keep me from coming out of my comfort zone. Some of you are here and you're going to be sharing the gospel perhaps for the first time and you're afraid. Perhaps you'll be asked to teach a Sunday school class. In fact, the very first time I was asked to teach an adult class here at Golden State Baptist College, I turned it down because I was afraid. And God convicted my heart so deeply because it was pride in my life. I was worried about me. I was worried about how I was going to, you know, take the time and studying and all of these things that were fearful to me. And I realized it wasn't about me. It was about getting a hold of the Word of God and communicating it to people. And somewhere along the line, my burden to take the Word of God and transfer it to other people overcame my fear of standing up in front of people. And that doesn't mean I never get nervous anymore, because I still do. But what it does mean is there's something inside that's burning hotter and desiring more to communicate God's Word than to be fearful. You need to come out of your comfort zone. Some of you will have a job for the first time this semester that's uncomfortable for you. Some of you have a roommate. Maybe you at home had your own room, and that's going to be uncomfortable for you. And so maybe some of you will ask a girl on a date, and that'll be uncomfortable for you. Ladies, be nice to them. And if you're a freshman, don't get engaged, all right? Just slow it down a little bit. Have some patience. But for you upperclassmen, Proverbs 18:22 should be your claim to fame. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Some of you need to come out of your comfort zones this morning. And then I want you to look at verse number 5. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5, the Bible says, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Will you read that verse with me, please? Ready, begin. "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." You see, we like it when God does the miraculous, don't we? God, please! But we don't want to come out of our comfort zones. We don't want to take the step we need to take. We don't want to keep our eyes fastened on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when God comes in and says, "Yes, I am going to do something, but there's something you need to do as well. I want you to sanctify yourselves." God, through Joshua, gave the children of Israel a message of purification. And purity today is not a very popular message. And may God help us see a generation of young adults who stop asking what's wrong with everything and start asking what's holy and right. Many today have abandoned the biblical fact of separation. God even created male and female, and so many want to toss aside the distinction and the difference that God has made. And yet we see a growing, organized, funded group of people that are pushing a transgender agenda. It's unbelievable to me that we don't understand. We need to get back to the Word of God. I'm saying that God desires to do wonders among us, but sadly, many are unwilling or uninterested in sanctifying or setting themselves apart to be different. God is not looking for you to blend in with the world. He's called you to stand out. He has called you to be different from the world. I'd like to have you hold your spot now and turn to James chapter 3. I want you to see a few verses in James chapter 3 and understand that not only are we to purify our lives and separate our lives and seek to live holy, godly, consecrated lives to the Lord, but we also have to make sure that we are not becoming Pharisaical as we strive to live a holy and godly and separated life. James chapter 3 and verse 14 says this, "But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. I want to put my thumb down on something this morning that is needed. And that is, just as we're seeking to live a holy, godly, separated life that's pleasing unto the Lord, just because we have standards of separation in our life does not mean that we are holy, godly, and righteous individuals. And if that's what you measure, how good of a Christian you are, and you're measuring yourself better than somebody else because of some standard that you've placed in your life, my friends, you're wrong. Even Peter was wanting to know from Jesus, who's the greatest disciple? Before he failed the Lord. And so what I'm simply trying to say this morning is, if your holiness makes you haughty, it then ceases to be holy. Let me say that again. If your holiness makes you haughty, then it ceases to be holy.
You're right.
I think we need to let that sink in a little bit more. When your holiness makes you haughty, it ceases to be holy. I am all for holiness, but what is biblical holiness? I'll tell you what it's not. It's not strife in your heart thinking you're better than somebody else because you have separation as a part of your life. That separation is for the purpose to draw closer into the presence of God. That's why we're keeping our eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when your eyes are fixed upon that ark, and when your eyes are fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you understand that He is holy and that He is righteous, and that in and of yourselves, you are not holy and righteous. But only through Jesus Christ can you attain that holiness. Before God performed this great miracle for the children of Israel, His priority was for them to purify themselves. Purity has a high priority in the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. I wonder sometimes if God is in heaven withholding some miraculous blessings upon us because we're simply not interested in sanctifying ourselves because it's not a priority. Be careful that you don't care more about your standards as some kind of badge of honor or self-glory than the means by which our lives are to reflect who God is this morning. He is to be glorified. We are to draw closer to Him in a very personal way. And as we do, we will purify our own lives. It's a natural response of drawing closer to the Lord. And purity has a purpose, as we see in our text. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. See, that's our desire. We want God to work. We want to see His blessing. We want Him to be manifested. We want to see revival. We want to see people saved and lives changed. And we want God to work in our bus routes and in our Sunday school classes. And we want God to do all these things. But God says, hey, you got to step out of your comfort zone. You got to be willing to take that step of faith. Just as the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant walked to the Jordan River, this made no logical sense. And here's all these people. They've packed up all their belongings and their families and everyone's ready. And as they get to the brim of the water, they stick their feet in and then God begins to pull those waters apart. Man, I don't know about you, but I get excited about watching God work like that. What aspect of your life needs to be clean? What aspect of your life needs to be clean? I'm not asking you what part of your life needs to be cleaner. I'm asking what part of your life needs to be clean. Because the Lord desires to work greatly. And then we see the people of God on the move. As we come back to our text, Joshua chapter number 3, verses 13 to 17. God worked in a miraculous way as they crossed the Jordan. The moment of the miracle, when the people removed from their tents. We see the people's faith and we see their commitment. God's people had been camped next to the Jordan. Now to remove from their tent meant that they were going to come out of their comfort zones and move forward in their journey. This was a massive act of faith as they obeyed God. The priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant, verse 15, and their feet were dipped in the brim of the water. This moment also happened as the priests walked into the water, they stepped out by faith, and God quickly rewarded their faith in a mighty way. God oftentimes, as we stop and consider the fact that he waited, and I want you to think about this, he waited until the Jordan was flooded. He waited until the Jordan was flooded before he gave them the go-ahead. Why would God do that? And I don't know that I understand completely, but I would say this, God loves to step in when things are really bad. Because then he gets the glory for what he does. Just as the songwriter wrote, give him the glory for what he's done in your life. And we see the parting. There's the miracle of the parting of the Jordan, but then there's the drying, verse 17, of the water. And that in and of itself is a miracle that oftentimes that people miss. Just as God parted the Jordan, they crossed all this host of people across to the other side. The fact that there was no mud or there was no water, even in the deepest part of the river, that's where the priest stood with the Ark of the Covenant. There's so much I want to say. And I, for the sake of time, I can't continue to get to everything I want to. But can I say that God desires to use your life? Don't miss what God's doing. Just as you could read over this and say, yeah, God parted the waters, and it's easy to miss the other rivers and creeks that led into the Dead Sea that he also cut off. And just as you can read this and forget about the fact that he dried the ground, which is another miraculous event that takes place, it could be possible to come to Golden State Baptist College and miss all the great things that God is doing right here. As I think about this college, I'm reminded that the pastor in Woodland, California, who's pastoring now where I pastored, had the privilege to for close to 2 decades. His wife was led to Christ by a Bible college student here at Golden State Baptist College. I don't think that college student is even serving the Lord anymore. I don't know. But he went to work one night and began to witness to this lady. And she eventually trusted Christ as her Savior. She graduated from a public high school, had already started a community college or something in the area. And then she came to Golden State Baptist College and learned about creation. And has grown the Lord, and now she's a pastor's wife because of a college student that was a witness at work. Will you keep your eyes on the ark? With heads bowed this morning and eyes closed, will you look to Jesus? Will you stop comparing yourselves among yourselves and realize that Christ is holy and righteous, and as we draw close to him, we can purify our lives. Will you be willing to stretch yourself and come out of your tent? Will you seek to live a holy and a pure life before God as you live by faith and trust in him? And stand together with heads bowed.